Well, here we are. Christmas is gone for another year. And it looks like we survived. A lot of the decorations are up, I'm sure. Many people will keep them up until Epiphany or Orthodox Christmas or whenever you choose to take them down. Those beautifully wrapped Christmas presents, all that paper is all torn off and put out in the garbage. And maybe you got new clothes and you've worn them already, or perhaps you've worn some of them today. But what do we do now? Well, now that Christmas is over and all the commercial hype is over about Christmas, maybe we can think about it a little more deeply. Because the incarnation of Christ on Christmas that we celebrate is too great to simply do it that day and be done with it. It deserves at least two Sundays, which is the season of Christmas that we are in. We spent 4 weeks preparing for it, thinking about the story of Christmas on Christmas Eve, and now we get to kind of look a little bit more deeply into what the incarnation of Jesus Christ means to you and to me personally and to the world. Well, we read in John's Gospel, I like, again, the Message way it puts it, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Christ came to be part of us. Not somewhere out there, but a part of us. And so we need, again, to look closely and take seriously what that moving into the neighborhood means for us. Well, you know, we are told that he came to announce God's forgiveness. We need forgiveness. That's not necessarily very popular these days in terms of so many people don't think they've ever done anything that they need forgiveness for. And yet, sin is anything that separates you and I from one another or from God. And I'm sure that in my life I've said something or not said something. I've done something or not done something, or I've thought something or not thought something that has separated me from others and from God. And my guess is you have too. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we need to take seriously when the scriptures tell us that Jesus came into the world to offer forgiveness. He also came to offer God's grace. Unmerited favor. There's nothing you and I could have done or could do in the future to earn God's grace. It's unmerited. It's simply there. And it's unconditional. There's no restrictions on it. The only thing that God asks of us is that we receive it, that we embrace it, that we revel in his grace, in his mercy. It's unconditional. There are no footnotes. It doesn't make any difference about gender or identity or political persuasion or poverty or wealth or anything else. It's unconditional because if we put anything on grace, it's no longer grace. It's unconditional. Further along in the Gospel of John, it says, to as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. To receive. There are two words in the Greek language for believe. One is one word that means to believe intellectually. I know that there's a moon in the sky, or whatever else you choose. The other one is to believe experientially. And that's what it means to receive Jesus Christ into your life, to experience that. And the life-changing power that is there. So we're to receive and to believe. And that brings us to today's passage. What is it that we are supposed to do after Christmas? Now that it's over and done with, what is the now what? And Paul says, put on a new wardrobe. Put on new clothes. It's kind of like acting out, or the metaphor that we act out in baptism. In baptism, we are buried with Christ. We're immersed under the water, and we are raised with Christ when we're brought up. That imagery is easier to see in immersion baptism, but the theme continues in what we Presbyterians do in terms of sprinkling. And some people, when they're baptized, put on new clothes. The old clothes are off, new clothes are on. They act out the metaphor that Paul's sharing with us in his Colossian letter today. And so he says that we are to put on compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and love. Those are the new clothes that we're supposed to put on. Well, he means more than we ought to play nice with one another. Even though that doesn't seem to happen much anymore in our everyday conversations and our political bantering back and forth and the way we deal with people. But it's there. And it's what Paul says that we are to do. We are to put on those clothes. Now, what does that mean? Because as I said, it means more than just playing nice with one another. It means more than everything we learned in life that was necessary we learned in kindergarten. It means more than simply sharing our toys or our ideas with one another and playing friendly. It goes much deeper than that. It's putting on these things of compassion and kindness and humility and love. There's a historian, he's French, and I'll murder his name. Jean is his first name. If you want to know how to spell it, last name, I'll tell you afterwards. But anyway, he says we find a clue as to what Paul is talking about here in the monastic life. You see, the monks and the nuns knew that what they needed to the scriptures are not something to be objectified. They're not something to be held out there and studied and debated, but they're to be internalized. And they knew that if they started living the life of what they're supposed to do, it will actually bring inward transformation. It's kind of like if you put a coat on, you get it warm inside. And so what the author of Colossians is suggesting is that you and I put on these clothes by doing what they are. If you want to change the outward life, or you want to change the inward life, you change the outward one first. If you're feeling angry towards somebody or some situation, start acting less angry, and that will change the inside of you. And so the nuns and the monks knew that if they started living and doing the things of living with compassion and love and humility and meekness, it would permeate their entire life. And there would be a deep transformation, much deeper and pervasive than simply playing nice. If we were in a counseling model, it would be said you'd be encouraged to change your behavior, and it will change what happens inside. Changed actions precede changed feelings, not the other way around. And so we're to put on those clothes of meekness and kindness and humility and so on that Paul talks about so that they permeate our life. They become a part of us. It's not just reading the scriptures out there, but it's having the scriptures internalized about how we are to live and act. You and I might be the only Bible that people see. They see the way you talk to each other. They see the way you act to each other. And they hear that. One of the things that's helped me is to try to live as though I was God's only representative in a given situation. Please hear me. I said, act as if. I didn't say it was true. Because I know there are plenty of brothers and sisters out there, but for me personally, what would it be like? And what would it be like for you If in every interaction and situation we act as if we were God's only representative there, how would that change things? On Christmas Eve, we had candles. The light of the world. And then we held them high, symbolizing that Jesus is the light of the world. It's when you and I put on these clothes, when they become internalized, so that they permeate our life, that God is able to let his light shine through us to other people. Put on the new clothes. Christmas has meaning in your life and in mine when it really makes a difference in our lives that Christ came. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the incarnation. Help us now to live out the good news of the gospel in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.